And the traditional model of education says that, I'm going to refer again to my friend David Warlick. Not all classrooms fit this description, and I haven't been in your classrooms, I don't know, okay? But some classrooms, you've got the desks lined up, you've got them lined up in rows and columns, and the kids come in, and the teacher stands at the front of the room and shares some information with the students, and the student's supposed to absorb it, and we check that they've learned it, because if they can spit it back to us, they've learned it. And this kind of model of education was ideal in the Industrial Revolution. But we don't live in that time anymore, where we needed to create many, many workers. We live in a time where technology is advancing at an absolutely breathtaking and breakneck pace. And the kind of world that your children and your students are going to be living and working in is going to be very different. We're teaching kids stuff and preparing them for jobs that don't exist today. How do you prepare a child for a job when you don't even know what the job is going to be? And the kinds of skills and talents that you need to bring to that project is not just learning math, and it's not just learning English, and it's not just learning woodwork, and it's not just physical education. It's almost as though every child needs to be a person of the Renaissance now. They really need to have a suite of skills. So that unidirectional model of education, where the student is an empty vessel, that doesn't work. That's not what learning is. And what I say in my classes again and again, learning is a conversation, which is what you did. You took something that was the meaning, perhaps there was meaning there. You constructed the meaning through conversation. Some of you went out and you went to other resources. You went to find computers. You started talking to each other. Those of you who sat by yourselves and didn't have a conversation with anyone were the most disadvantaged. Those of you that got together in groups, and the more people you talked to and the more you wrestled with the material, the closer you came to coming up with an answer. Because that's what learning is. Learning is a conversation. Okay. This next bit is just for fun. Okay, this is just for fun.
Thank you.
100 zeros after it. I don't think there's that many molecules in the universe. Okay. That was an actual video. That's a real. That's the Fat Boys. Not that I'm a big Fat Boys fan, but there it is.
I think they should try a million crunches.
I'm looking at the clock and a million crunches. Yeah. I'm looking now. I did want to spend a little bit of time talking about lotteries. And this is something that comes up in all of my classes. And there's a little video here that I wanted to show you. But what I've done is I've kind of archived the entire presentation online for you, and so you can come back and look at it. Although I was going to tell you that lotteries... Okay. I don't really have a lot of time left. And I've got a lot of ground to cover with you. This is the point where I want to do two things. One, I want to show you what I'm doing in my classroom, because now I'm going to come at this backwards. Okay, I've been talking to you about numeracy and ideas for how you could weave that into your classroom. I am going to show you a couple of examples that I've collected of how other teachers around North America have done that. But what I want to show you first is how I've answered the challenge of literacy in the math class. So the challenge, the question I'm going to throw to you is, now what are you going to do about numeracy in your class? I don't know that there's one right answer. You find the answer that works best for you. None of my classes, all of my classes, are hybrid classes. Every class I teach, it has both a face-to-face component and it has an online component. That is that every class that I have has running alongside it a web blog. Has anyone heard of a blog before? You know what a blog is? Okay, a blog, some people call a weblog a journal, an online journal, and it's a little bit more than an online journal. It's a website that allows you to collect sources from all over the internet, and people write and contribute information to the weblog, and over the course of time, the newest thing is at the top, the oldest thing is at the bottom. Down here on the right-hand side, we've got the list of contributors. These are the students in my classes. There is one name here that's not a student in my class. Well, there's me, and Lonnie is not a student in my class. Lonnie is she's a retired teacher and currently works as a curriculum developer in Ohio. And she's a mentor for one of my classes. She mentors, actually all of my classes, she mentors them and visits the blog and leaves comments and has conversations with my students encouraging them in their mathematics. Something you'll see here you see it says scribe post. My students are responsible not for reading the textbook in my class, they're responsible for writing the textbook. Each day in class, whatever they learn in class, one student is responsible to summarize that learning on the class weblog. Now, yesterday I was away, so there's not a lot to see there, but if we go down a little bit, we see the scribe post from the day before. There's some interesting things happening here on the right, which I'll revisit in a moment. You see that they have questions and solutions. They use graphic images in a meaningful way. Very often they use, look at this. I didn't know they did that. They put in a whole tutorial about how to use Blogger. They're creating a digital story. The assignment in the digital story is students created the blog. This blog I created invited them. They created their own blog, one of them, and they invited me. And each student is responsible for creating a little story about this character that we came up with in brainstorming in our class. This year, it's Pedro the Pirate Panda. Pirate. It's a calculus class. Last year, we had Captain Chris, and the theme was kind of like a Star Trek thing, where they ran around visiting planets. They ran into problems on those planets. They created a calculus problem that Captain Chris and his valiant crew, like Vector Vandera and Transformer Tommy, they had to solve that problem, and the next student who continues the story, creates a new problem. They review the coursework over the entire year. The students are creating artifacts to help each other learn. They're creating artifacts for next year's class to use. And it's maintained online, which means that their audience, my students don't work for me. My students' audience is not, when I have an assignment in my class, students, I don't tell students to hand in their assignments. I tell my students to publish their assignments. When a student hands in an assignment to me, I'm the audience and that's it. I read what they wrote and I mark it and give it back to a student. Maybe a student did really well. Maybe they got like 90%, 88%, something, right? So they look at the mark, cool, I got 88%, and wham. It goes right in the garbage because it's finished. That's why I tell them to publish. They publish their assignment, and it's not over, it's never over. The course ends, and they continue to get comments from people all over the world. My class did a podcast last year. These guys haven't done it yet, but they will. And within 3 hours of the publication of that podcast, the essence of which was, what do you want to do the next time you take math to do better? What message do you want to leave for yourself? Kind of like a little, I call it a, not a time capsule, but a pod capsule. And they got hits within 3 hours. They had a comment from Scotland, from Alberta, and Hong Kong. The fellow from Hong Kong, the teacher from Hong Kong, engaged one of my students in an ongoing dialogue that extended 1 week after the course ended. And that student went researching mathematical information on the internet, learned it himself so that he could explain it to this person who was asking him questions from Hong Kong, of course, he'd never seen it. My students are required once each unit, the first mark on every unit test is, the first question is, did you or did you not write a post on our weblog as outlined in my post? I have a post that asks them to reflect on their learning. Where are you right now? What are you doing well? What are you not doing well? What's your status in the course? Did you have an aha moment, a moment of clarity, where you've been struggling with something and now you suddenly get it? What was that thing? We use, my students are very safe. I have no concerns that way. We use exclusively their first names, the email addresses that they use to contact me, include their first names, no last names. No images of my students appear anywhere on the internet. It's not difficult to figure out that my kids are at Daniel Mac because if you Google me, it comes up. But I'm not worried about that. My students, we spend a significant amount of time in the first week of class discussing ethical online behavior and how to behave ethically online because you got kids doing some stuff at Facebook, MySpace. I don't know if you know these websites, Bebo. They're doing stuff that you don't want your kids doing. I mean, your son, your daughter, you don't want them doing that. But who's showing them? Like, our school division has blocked blogs. Any website that has the name blog in it has been blocked by our school division. You can't access it. You'll be able to access my class's blogs because I've had them whitelisted on the filter, and they look at the stuff that's going on in my class, and they whitelist it. Yeah. But you got to get it whitelisted. And they can't leave comments because the comments go back through Blogger.
Well, in our school, for some reason, it's working without any of that filters. So my question is, do your kids do this at home? Do they have their own computers at home, or do you let them have class time?
I don't give class time. It's all of this work is done outside of class. We've certainly extended the classroom day. The classroom walls are not limited by the floor walls in my classroom.
What do you do for the kids that doesn't have access to their computer?
I get access for them. We get a special account for that student in school so that they can use the school computers either at lunch, before school, after school. They can come in my class and use the computer at my station. But we create, that's not an issue. That question comes up every time. I'm glad you asked. It's a bit of a red herring without meaning to insult because the fact of the matter is, I've been doing it now, I think it's my third year doing this, and although there's between 2 and 3 is the most I've ever had, of kids that don't have access at home, anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks into the course, they don't want to do it at school anymore. They've figured it out. They are going to their friend's house, or they bought a computer, or whatever they've done, but they tell me, no, Mr. K, we don't need the school services anymore, and they're doing it on their own. I'm very conscious of the time that we have left, and I have so much to tell you. So this is one of the things. This is just one of my my students' blogs, and they keep surprising me. I mean, it's amazing what my kids are doing. I'm going to go to a different class blog, and I want to show you something that... this is a great... Now, that was my AP class. This is my grade 11 pre-cal class. And all I did was say that there's a website out there called BubbleShare, which allows you to make slides that can be embedded onto the class weblog. So the kids go out there, and one kid kind of gets it in her head that she's going to do it. And she did this most breathtaking scribe post describing what they were learning in class. The next kid was so taken with what she had done, and the next kid started doing it, and the next kid. So now what they're learning in class is taking a little while to load, but it's a slideshow. And it shows what they did in class that day. You see that there's four slideshows, and if we click the play button, let's try that again. Here we go. They had to do an investigation where they're learning about the properties of circles and the geometry of circles. And so the kid puts together the slideshow showing what they learned in class and includes all the text around it to explain what's going on here. Their instructions are to write well enough so that someone who missed class or anyone who is away for whatever reason that day can come back and catch up on what they missed. If a graphic will help make things understandable, maybe you should do that. With the use of color help, maybe you should do that, but it's up to you. What they're doing now is not part of the requirements, but they keep pushing each other to higher and higher levels of achievement as they publish their work online and collect comments from people around the world, and they know they're being watched because on a regular basis, this is the map showing where this weblog has been hit from sites all over the world, and it's every continent except Antarctica. The latest assignment they're working on is this one. This is Flickr is a photo sharing website. Their assignment was to go take a picture. This class, their assignment was to take a picture of they had to take a picture of a quadratic function, and then using the tools that are built in Flickr, they then had to annotate that picture and fill it up full of comments. The idea was that the picture should become a mind map and a review of a unit that we covered way at the beginning of the semester. Each student in class has to do this. And at the end of the semester, there's going to be a bank of these mind maps that the students each can see each other's work. You can also leave comments on the kids' work, and you can see that someone is already leaving comments over here. If you go over the picture, what this student has done is these beads form a parabola in that student's eyes. And she's packed in so much into this graphic image. And she's telling us here, the Christmas beads create a parabola shape, and she reviews the standard form, the equation of a parabola. She identifies, she puts in the x-axis, she puts in the y-axis, she identifies the axis of symmetry. I'm talking about math now because that was her assignment. And she incorporates all this. She sees another parabola in the arc of the candy cane. And part of the assignment was that the students should walk around. I wanted them to use their cell phones. I said, I want you to walk around, and as you see things in the world around you, look for quadratic functions. And with your cell phone, snap the picture, or your digital camera, or whatever you got. There were a couple of kids who didn't have a digital camera, or a cell phone that took pictures. The other kids helped them out. They will do 2-3 of these over the course of the semester. They will also be creating a bank of resources for the next class. They're also creating very real clip art that they can use in assignments and projects that they have to do for me. This is only one assignment. I'm running out of time. There's more here. There's the chat box where they interact with each other and get help in their homework when they're stuck. They ask each other questions and other students pop in with answers. This is a pre-Cal blog in California, where the students there started coming and visiting us. We recently got visited from some grade 7, 8 students in Scotland. They don't call them grade 7, 8 in Scotland there, but that's the age level. My kids and those kids have been going back and forth now. We're looking at doing a podcast that we're going to blast out to those kids in Scotland. They're going to come back to us. My kids are curious about life in Scotland, and the Scottish kids are curious about life in Winnipeg. These are the 10 top delicious resources. Delicious is a social bookmarking site. These are the footnotes, or maybe it's the bibliography, for the textbook that the students are writing. Their assignment is, for each unit of study, they have to find one website, just one, on the internet, that helped them or was meaningful to them and helped them learn. and then they save it into this account. They use a tag that we created for the course. This one should say PC430S. I'll fix that later. But you can see in the link, it's got the 30S over here. Anything that gets tagged that by anybody anywhere in the world is going to end up in that box magically through a technology called RSS, which you don't need to know anything about to use. If you can send email, you can do this. And they collect these resources. So now other kids, if they need help, they need extra help, besides getting help in the chat box, besides reviewing the textbook on the blog, they can also come in here and find sites on the internet that have been vetted by students who were struggling with the same material and said, this was helpful to me. That's what I'm doing. And that was my answer to literacy in the classroom, in the math class. This is very curricular based. This is lots of math. My kids have an audience that spans the globe, as you see, and every one of their weblogs is like that. There's so much to say in so little time. We've got 5 minutes. I wanted to show you one more thing here. For this presentation, all of the materials that I've collected, that I've put together, including the PowerPoint presentation, which will work, and all the videos, including some other videos I didn't get a chance to show you, have all been stored here at your Takeaway Wiki. And if you want to take away one web address from this presentation, the whole shebang is wrapped up in this one web address, in your Takeaway Wiki. Wiki is a website that you can come to and you can edit. I'm going to show you how to do that. This is your wiki. There's the workshop materials. I'm recording this conversation right now. Afterwards, I will publish it on the internet and it will be accessible here if you want to listen to any of this again. This part is for you. We talk about definitions. I didn't get a chance to get into this, but it's here, and you can come visit. This is when I put that call out on my blog. This is how other teachers, I created the wiki and said, just come dump your stuff here. And they did. I reformatted it a little bit, but I didn't change anything that they wrote. This is their stuff. Come take a look and see how other teachers are weaving numeracy into their curriculum. This is a math teacher from Sargent Park Middle School, and Ian Dixon teaches mathematics and psychology, and he talks about how he uses math in his class. I also asked my students, how do you use math in your classes that are not math classes? And they've come by and left some comments there. There's one in particular. So the web address you're looking for, numeracy, no triple W, numeracy, dot, wiki spaces, W-I-K-I, spaces with an S at the end, dot com. It's got everything. What I'd really like you to do as you're going home this weekend, if you have any thoughts that you want to share, this presentation doesn't end here. This is what I hate about professional development. You come in, and it's this one thing shot in the arm, and that's it. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. Your professional development is really up to you. And if you want it to continue, it will. And I'm inviting you to continue the discussion about numeracy here. Here's what you do. Pay attention to this. There's a button at the top of the page that says, edit this page. If you click on that button, you'll come to a screen that looks like this one. It has tools that look like your word processor, and that's how it works, just like your word processor. You'll scroll down here to where it says participants' feedback, and I'm going to start by putting in my friend's name, Yankel Honigskvetcher. Okay, so there's my friend Yankel Honigskvetcher, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to select his name with the mouse, and I'm going to come up here, and I'm going to click on this link, and it's going to ask me to create a link. It's already selected for me that it's going to be a new page in the wiki. You just have to click OK. You don't have to do anything there. And then I'll save this page. What I've just done is create a new page on this wiki that has nothing in it. So when I click on that name, this is Yankel's page. And when he clicks edit that page, he can now type in anything that he wants. And when he's done, whoops, oh, I got to sign in. If they give you a hard time about that, you just email me. It's on the front of the wiki. Ugh. Okay, so then I click save. Now you might have to send me, and I'm pretty quick, like if you want to join the wiki, I'll send you back right away, you're in, and you can make your edits. And this is what Yanko can write. You can write whatever you want. And what I'd like you to do, come back, create your page. If anything struck you about this presentation, if you got anything of value out of it, I'd appreciate the feedback. If you have more questions, it's a good place to put them. I'll try to come back. If I can't answer it, all of us know more than any one of us. Some of us will come and find it, click edit that page, and we can all contribute that content. If there was something about this presentation that rubbed you the wrong way, then share that too. But whatever you do, share what you're thinking and start a conversation. Because if your professional development is going to continue, and your learning is going to continue, and you want your students to be lifelong learners, then who's going to be their model if not you? So the challenge I'm throwing out to you is, how are you going to weave numeracy into your curriculum? What are you going to do, not tomorrow, not next week, but start a conversation so that the collaborations across departments between teachers, and you have to think larger than your school. Because there's a whole worldwide community out there that you can access and tap into to get all the help in your world. I'm going to show you one more thing. Here on the side is navigation to all parts of the wiki. In the additional links, you're looking, blogs, Flickr, wiki, what? I don't know this. Well, I had mentioned earlier in my presentation that K-12 Online was a conference that was held entirely online. I'm one of three people. The other fellow was someone in Texas, and there was a lady, Cheryl Nussbaum Beach in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and Wesley Fryer was in Texas. And the three of us put together this conference. We got some help from Lonnie. I told you about the mentor for my class. She helped us out too. And this was an entirely free conference where we looked at a week in the classroom. All over the world, how are teachers using these tools in their classes to improve their students' learning? Basic advanced training. What's a wiki? What's a blog? How do I do that? It's all there. We have videos, we have podcasts, we have screencasts. We've got everything. It's all put in one place, and it's not going anywhere, and it's free. So at your leisure, you can pursue your professional development, which was another strand in the conference, how to use these tools to enhance your own personal professional development. And lastly, the biggest challenge of all, how do you overcome the obstacles to doing this? Our school division blocks blogs. It's a wonderful presentation by Terry Friedman, who's an ICT consultant from the UK, who talks specifically about how to address that. I'm not saying all the answers are here, but what I am saying is that there's something here for you to begin to explore, and if your students are going to walk out of your classrooms as lifelong learners, then who better than you to be their models for that? Thanks. Oh, I had one more thing.
Student taught at Cicero with Bill Kortusky.
I student taught?
With Bill Kortusky.
We worked together at Balmoral Hall. Yeah.
A number of years ago, I met Darren. He had long, long curly hair, long ponytail. And I phoned one of his references. I think it was Bill Kortowski.
Okay.
And I hope you don't mind me sharing some of this stuff. But this was a while ago. And Bill Kortowski is known in the math world by people in my generation and by the people at the university, because he's... probably written a few books, but his quote was this about Darren. He said, he's young, he's brilliant, he's passionate, but he's a bit of a rogue, and you never know what you're going to get. And that's what happened this afternoon. I think we got a bit more than we bargained for. I'm going to read something to you that I wrote years ago, also, when we did evaluations that we needed anecdotals for. They weren't check-off lists. I hope you don't mind this either. We have to write things. And the way that I did anecdotals was I'd write something as a draft and I'd give it to the teacher, and the teacher would give me feedback on it, and we'd sort of talk about the evaluation process and work out the evaluation together. So most of these are my words, but Darren probably wrote this.
I had nothing to do.
The most noticeable characteristic that makes itself evident in Mr. Kirapatwa's class, I surprise myself sometimes, are his professional passions. See, I used to. I'm sorry to keep you, but I used to think when I was younger that I wasn't smart enough to be a teacher. I became a teacher and I realized I'm smart enough to be a teacher. And I didn't think I was smart enough to be a department head, and I got a department headship, and I realized I was smart enough to be a department head. And then I didn't think I could be a vice principal, and I was a vice principal. I thought I was smart enough to be a vice principal. I could never be smart enough to be a principal. I'm smart enough to be a principal. Then I listened to something like this, and I realized how stupid I am. And how much we all have to learn at all sorts of different times. He loves mathematics. He loves teaching. Mr. Kirkpatrick is an individual of strong beliefs. The students in his charge feel the passion he feels for mathematics and are infected with it. He makes his classes enjoyable by relating math to life, history, and humor. Darren thinks it's hard to do this on a Friday afternoon. You did a great job. If you would accept this on behalf of the staff.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank
very,
you.
Very, very.